Good morning. I hear some joyful noise unto the Lord. Good morning, Penny. It's good to be together, to be friends, to worship the living God. We're glad you took this time to be with us here in the space and at home or wherever you may be. Want to draw your attention to the connection card that's always in your bulletin and remind you that filling it out helps us stay connected. Imagine that. So please do fill out your connection card. There's an offering plate that will come by later in the service. You can place it in the offering plate. We have our annual meeting about our programming here at First Baptist. We have two annual meetings every year, and this is the program annual meeting. We invite you to come and join us downstairs in the fellowship hall right after worship. We'll meet and celebrate the life we have together here. We'll name that it's been a hard and tricky year. We'll honor our feelings in that space, and then we'll share in a potluck lunch together. We hope that you will join us for that. Children will have children's choir, youth will be doing their thing with youth leaders, and then children and youth will join us for lunch too. You may have received an email this week about our dear friend Dick Bowser, who died suddenly on Wednesday. He had an infection and was being treated in the hospital. Still trying to figure out exactly what happened, but we loved him, and he loved you and us. We'll be celebrating his life together the end of June, likely June 24, so we want to let you know that. And I wish I could take a line from next week's call to worship. The children wrote a call to worship last Sunday, and they're going to use it next Sunday, because next Sunday is Children and Youth Sunday. And they, in their line, a line in their call to worship says, "This is a safe place to have all your feelings." So we're going to take that line from the kids today. We see light, hope, and joy. We bring heart, soul, mind, and body. We share blessings and fears. We bring faith and doubt. With all that we are and all that we have, let us worship God together now.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in a moment of prayer, and if you are able to, please stand. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. We gather this morning, good and gracious God, to worship you, the creator and sustainer of all life. We gather this morning in gratitude and praise for giving us this wonderful and amazing thing we call life. We gather this morning in faith and hope. We gather this morning to encourage and support one another in our growth and our service to you. We come this morning to be nourished by your word, your love, and your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary, and to the one who lacks might, he increases their power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. With me now, come on up. Many times in the Bible, we hear that being partners with God is like running. Do any of you like to run?
Yeah?
Let's look and see if any teenagers or adults like to run. I know we have some runners in this space. Yeah, we have some who love. Yeah. So in the Bible, we hear these stories about being in relationship with God, partners with God, is a little bit like running. So, Simeon, I have a favor to ask you. Would you go run through the sanctuary? What? Would you do it? Would you go this way? Would you run all the way around and right back up here? Could you go do that? Go for it. Run. Go. Good. Allie's going to follow you. Go for it, Allie. There they go. They're good. Yeah, you can run. Sure, go for it. Run, run, run. Ooh. Okay, then come have a seat back up here. Ooh, good. Keep running. Come on back up here. Good. 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 You can go, Ruby, if you'd like. Tess, if you want to run, go for it. Run, run, run. Come back. Go, run, run, run. Go for it, Ruby. Go for it, Tess. Yeah. This is what it's like. God says, we hear from the prophet Isaiah that being in relationship with God, yes, is like running. Good job, Tess and Ruby. Now, what if you ran like that your whole life? What if you were always running all the time? How do you think you would start to feel? So tired. Sleepy, maybe. Maybe you'd feel really thirsty. Maybe you'd feel upset if you had to keep frustrated, if you had to keep running. All these feelings. It's like, does it feel? Your tummy might be feeling tired, empty. You might feel like you need something to give you some new energy. Yeah, well, so this is what we hear from Isaiah, that being in relationship with God, yes, yeah, being in relationship with God is like going on a long run, except then there's this part that Isaiah says, wait, when you're connected to God, God is like your little boost of energy. It's like God gives you the wings of eagles. Now, I wish that I could give you eagle wings. Do you think you could keep going if I gave you eagle wings?
Yeah.
That would be so cool. But I don't have eagle wings to give you, and I can't help you fly. Sorry about that. But guess what we can do? Simeon, have a seat right here. Sit right there. Now, pretend to run, but sitting. Now run. Ah, very good. Okay, now stop your body. Do you think Simeon could run like this forever if he had a seat?
Yeah.
Do you think you could do it longer than if you're... I think so. So, I can't give you eagle wings. And God doesn't say we're going to have an easy path all the time, but God does say, hey, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to support you. Try running in place right where you are. Go, run in place, everybody. Good. Okay, stop. Perfect. Stop. Stop. Good. Hey, friends, this is what it's like. God is always with you. God is a partner with you and supports you. We hear from Isaiah that it's like you're on eagle's wings. So you have to pretend you have a chair today because we can't give you wings. But God is with you and God supports you while you're on the journey. Can you say thank you, God?
For helping us.
We're grateful.
We're grateful.
Amen. All right, let's head to church school together. With your walking feet. All right.
us. Thank you for the goodness of this fresh day. We gather in the promise that no matter where we are or have been, no matter what we feel, need, think, hope, you are with us, will never leave us. We thank you for the expressions of your love in the beauty and surprises of the greening, flowering earth, kindness of family, friends, and sometimes strangers, music, art, the urge to heal and help and care for others, the ability to forgive and be forgiven, the need to do the work of justice and compassion and peace, qualities within us like curiosity, imagination, wonder, joy, a sense of humor, the goodness of community, this beloved community. For all these reminders of your love that offers abundant life, we thank you. Help us, God, to let go of whatever it is we cling to that stands in the way of opening our lives fully to your presence and your calling forth. Old habits, resentments, apathy, accumulation, attachments, fear, judgment, or expectations, whatever it may be. May we step into whatever the future holds for us with eyes and hearts wide open to the movement of your Spirit within us and all around. May we be your people in broken places, at the borders of our country and others, battlefields of Ukraine and other places, on the streets of Ann Arbor and many cities where homeless people shelter, in schools, homes, theaters, places of worship, grocery stores, workplaces, where guns are used to murder in our country, wherever violence happens and suffering. May we be your people there. Forgive us when we fall short and move us to forgive one another. In your Spirit, let us listen deeply to our longings for belonging, for purpose and for wholeness, and to the longings of others so that we can find a way to live together in the world that honors our connections to one another, to creation, and to you. God of hurting hearts, we come carrying fresh grief at the death of a dear one this week, Dick Bowser, who was so lavish in his kindness, grace, and love for us. Comfort us, hold close his family and friends in their sorrow, and let us honor him in the ways we choose to love and care for one another and to change the world for good. We pray for your healing grace and hope in the circumstances of these members and friends of our congregation, family and friends of Richard Bowser, for Marlene Francis, Jill Damon, Betty Gersler, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Lauren Bowen, Jay Arnett, Grange Burnside, Graham DePriest, Fred Van Ostall, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Allison Lavelle, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Chris Ledyard Argus, and Jackie. Hear now the prayers we bring in silence. Our Father, who art in heaven,
We listen now to a reading from the Epistle to the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees and pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or even imagine. To God and in Jesus Christ and in the living church be glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my preaching heroes, Fred Craddock, told this story from his Appalachian boyhood. One night in the summer, he and his father were out in the backyard, and little Fred was lying on his back looking up at the stars. His father said to him, "Son, how far can you think?" "I don't know. What do you mean?" "Just think as far as you can think up toward the stars." Fred says, "I screwed my imagination down and said, I'm thinking as far as I can think." His father said, "Well, in your mind, drive down a stake out there now. Have you driven down the stake? That's how far you can think." Fred said, "Yes, sir." His father said, "Now, what's on the other side of your stake?" Fred said, "Well, there's more sky." His father said, "Move your stake." Craddock says he and his dad spent the evening moving that stake further and further outward. There are times in most every life when something like that has to happen for us, when the boundaries of our thinking get moved to a further or deeper place. That's what education is for. Good teachers keep saying to us, "Move your stake." It's what parents and churches want to help their children experience. Sometimes it's what a crisis will do, forces us to reach past our old assumptions and certainties. But there doesn't have to be a crisis. There doesn't have to be a teacher. Out of nowhere, sometimes it can come, this stirring suspicion in us that there is more for us to understand now, more for us to do, more to imagine. The sense that it's time and past time for taller dreams and a larger scope of concerns for our living. Sometimes we feel this rising desire to get past our present understanding and commitment. I believe that this is the never-ending project of our lives. We're here to grow up, to grow in character, compassion, curiosity, generosity, friendship, wisdom, gratitude, faith, commitment to living the truth. Imagine you are looking up at the sky and somewhere out there driving down a stake at the limits of what you can think and be. How much you can love. Now, what's on the other side of that? Move your stake. In the New Testament epistle to the Ephesians, there's a prayer for this. I pray that God may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with power, as you're being rooted and grounded in love, that you may have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is a very tall prayer. To comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth and be filled with the fullness of God? Good heavens! Why such a towering prayer for us? Because we were born for nothing less. Church people say that Jesus died for the sins of the world. All right, yes. But that is the barest beginning of it. The meaning of the cross of Jesus is not so small as forgiveness. It isn't bound to the pale and sickly issue of our guilt. It is for the towering issue of our high purpose in the world, freeing us for it, joining us to each other for it, joining us to God and to God's vision for us all to live into the breadth and length and height and depth of our calling. And it's sadly not an easy thing for us even to think about. We inhabit a culture that is in love with surfaces. Shallow times, breeding shallow people, with shallow values, shallow perceptions and commitments, shallow politics, and too often shallow churches. We sometimes marvel at how different we are from each other without seeming to notice how alike almost all of us are in lacking much depth. Thank you. And the stuff is contagious. When other people are small to us, we respond with what? Smallness. And if we are surrounded by the superficial, where do we get help for something better? How many incentives really do we have, and inspirations do we have to do some serious growing up? I wonder how many millions of people have had magnificent potential for living alert, compassionate, generous, inspiring lives, but did not because they couldn't escape the great downward pull of conforming to everybody else's way. But conforming isn't the only threat to the stature of our living. Maybe we did fight back, and maybe you truly wanted better for your world and for your soul, and you still do, and you've worked toward it. But it has been falling apart. The system was too much, or your surroundings were too oppressive. Maybe you did wrong, or someone else did wrong, or someone died, and others faded away, and the world broke your heart. Or less dramatically, maybe we simply got swallowed up inside the thicket of demands and distractions of daily living, and never even noticed we'd stopped asking big questions, reading worthwhile books, offering fervent prayers, having important conversations, strengthening our friendships, giving better gifts, seeking deeper communion with the world and with God. We forgot the growing, greening edges of our faith, our mind, our love. This is not to say that we have to be growing all the time. No one gets by without some dormant seasons. You are permitted. We fall down, we're knocked down or weighed down. We need rest to recover, to lie fallow for a while. But Christ never stops calling us into his greatness, and the Spirit is able to refresh us for it and infuse us with new energies for it. The great Ephesians prayer for our maturity concludes with a ringing benediction: "Now to the one who is able by the power at work in you to do far more abundantly than all we can think or even imagine." So whatever else might befall us, whatever reasons we may find for giving up, we make this vow that we will keep returning to tending the fire of the soul, seeking the Spirit's lively help, looking toward higher concerns, digging deeper and deeper down for the greater love. It is dangerous to postpone this too long. Margaret Atwood, in her novel Cat's Eye, portrays a talented artist who kept putting off a decisive expression of his gift. On and on, he was reluctant, he was fearful, passive, until one day he discovered to his horror that his real gift had left him. Atwood sums it up: potential has a shelf life. I think she's right. Our capacities to care, to act, to imagine, to commit, these are supple things and vulnerable, and if unexercised long enough, they atrophy. And so there's an urgency to the question of who we are becoming. In a way, the issue of whether or not we grow up is a life or death question. Because the world is dying of smallness. The world is dying of small minds, shallow obsessions, grotesquely stunted conviction. A world under assault is waiting for greatness, for communities of spiritual stature, for people of moral depth, for young people and old who live toward the long, long, beautiful commitments of justice, reconciliation, and peace. Jesus walked the earth for this. Everything he did and said and continues to do and say is toward our enlargement for living, trusting, giving, hoping. He makes us free from the endless tiny orbit of our own self-obsession, the pettiness of our resentments, the smallness of fear and of arrogance, the smallness of greed, the smallness of a finished religion. Christ is calling us to the breadth and length and height and depth of God's concerns, love and justice, faith and mercy, resurrection and life. I love these words from a poem by Rilke. God speaks to each of us as he makes us, and then walks with us silently out of the night. These are the words we dimly hear. You sent out beyond your recall. Go to the limits of your longing. Embody me. Flare up like flame and make big shadows I can move in. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. Don't let yourself lose me. Nearby is the community they call life. You will know it by your seriousness. Give me your hand. For God's own sake, for the sake of the world, for your own dear soul's sake, let this be what you know, that life is miraculous and brief and brilliant with possibility. There is a holy calling laid upon your life. Let the size of it get hold of you and stretch you in all faithful directions. May the massive love of Christ dwell in your hearts and the current borders of your understanding be blown away. And so may you reach the end of your journey just amazed at how far you came, and also awestruck by how far there still is to go. And may our growing be always expressed in our giving. As an act of our worship and faith, we make our offerings to God. Blessed as we are with God's love and every gift needed in our living, let us offer to one another signs of the peace of Christ for such living together. May the peace of Christ be with you. I don't know how long it's been. Friends, this church has been blessed beyond belief by the ministry, the love, and the leadership of the Reverend Dr. Heather Entwicker. I had so many words to say, and they all now seem just anticlimactic. Have a seat. Heather, to me, your existence in this world is to me an argument for the existence of God.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I seldom use language like God sent you to us. But honestly, with all my heart, I believe God sent you to us when the time is needed for exceptional leadership, guidance, pastoral care, love, proclamation, hope.
Yes.
You're here.
Yeah.
And you give that and more. I personally, and we as a congregation, can never thank you enough for leading us through these strange, painful, hopeful new days. Heather, we thank you. Zan and Paula have gifts to give, expressive, though certainly not expressive enough, of our love and appreciation for you.
You don't have to open this now, but our card says on the front, "How are you feeling today?" Heather has been asking us this question. For some of us, that's a very hard question. We appreciate that you have invited us to have our feelings. Your first gift from us is, well, a gift that requires you. We got you the yarn to make this beautiful knit vest that we think looks a lot like Heather, don't you think? So we will help you. Kristen said, we will help you. Heather has been knitting with us, some of us and Stacy for years you can open your gift. I was going to open it for you. For many years, we've been knitting together. The symbolism of getting something that involves Heather's work is that Heather has been a part of our work together here. We have been a team, all together, working to create space. You have helped us create space to grieve. You have helped us create space to celebrate the resurrection. You have helped us create space to love. And she's really good at creating space to help us make good to-do lists. So I am grateful for that, too. She has helped us really think about our work together. One of my favorite lines, there's lots of things I've been learning from Heather. One is that when she finishes something on her to-do list, she doesn't just check it. She writes like this, a big line across the page. So we're going to do that in your honor. And she often would say, as we planned together and thought through what we wanted to be about in this season and the seasons going forward, she would hear what was going on and she'd say, okay, so it was that yes and, this invitation of, okay, now we've heard what's going on, where are we going to go with that? So I am deeply grateful for your partnership and your companionship of all of us, so thank you.
So Heather, anytime there's a meeting, a gathering, or anything like that, she always manages to bring food. This is because of her love for the outdoors. And so when she's able to sit outdoors at her home, she'll think of us. She loves birds, she loves the outdoors, I love to hike, Peter loves to bike. So this is sort of our connection with you to your love of the outdoors. More. Yes. So as I started to say, whenever we would gather, Heather would bring food. Even she would bring grapes, and I'd be like, oh, grapes, that's nice. But those grapes were the sweetest and the best grapes. I don't know where she found them, but they were always just grapes. So we got her some little fellowship bowls that she could think of us when she's bringing food. And she was always so gracious to the staff and the volunteers. So I really, I'm going to lose it, because she really has been such an amazing presence in our church these last couple months, and the time has gone way too fast. But yes, we will miss her terribly, and Peter as well, and even Echo.
You know, Wendell Berry wrote a poem, How to Be a Poet, in which he says, anyone who likes your poems doubt their judgment. And I do feel like some of that may apply here. When I was asked to come, there was no question but that I would say yes. But I came not knowing what would be needed and not knowing if I would have to give what it was that was needed when we figured that out, if we did. And when I came, I heard many of you in the same place asking, what now? My dear friends, we have come through a hard time, and we're okay. And we're now moving forward, and we're doing it with hope and faith, even while we carry sorrow. There's even joy in the moving ahead. And as we do this, the more joy we have and the better church we become, the more we can do justice and love mercy and walk humbly, the more we honor those who have gone before us. And I thank you so much for the great gift of coming alongside you for a little while. Bless you and thank you.
And Peter, we thank you. We know you endured a lot all alone. We thank you. A repeated invitation. Something is about to happen downstairs in the fellowship hall. It's really good. As you're there, you're going to see, among other things, a fantastic slideshow of the life of our church in the last year. You're going to hear some very hopeful and encouraging words. And then we're going to eat together. I hope so much that you will stay. I'm confident you'll be glad if you do. Join us downstairs at 11:30, if it's not already 11:30. Okay. And now will you receive the benediction? Dear friends, Christ is risen and everything has changed. Do not think of the former things. The grace of God makes all things new. So put away dark things. Clothe yourselves in light. In every opportunity for love, be extravagant. For Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.